Ain't No Fang podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Some things are starting to become a little bit more clear about the Arizona Diamondbacks roster. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Cody Fincher. Derek Montilla took the day off from the podcast. How dare he?
To cover the game today.
Well, I guess we can understand that.
It's fine, I guess. Whatever.
Thanks so much for checking out the Ain't No Fang podcast, even though Derek won't check it out himself. There are some things that are starting to become more clear with this roster. And
that's something we haven't really been able to say so far.
Well, and I feel like it stems from the fact that the Diamondbacks, they don't have a ton of dudes that are like, okay, that guy is the shortstop. That guy is the, I mean, they do have Nick Ahmed, so that position is solid. But even with their outfield, we've talked about there isn't a center fielder. There isn't a set second baseman. One of those two is Ketel Marte, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But another thing is because so many of the young players are either versatile or are being played at positions that they don't normally play. I'm talking about Pavin Smith, and Andy Young was playing left field at one time.
Yeah.
So a lot of it stems from the fact that I don't really know who is the future at some of these positions, but then we find out there are roster moves, and I want to get your reaction to this. So this was the latest batch of roster decisions. The Diamondbacks are sending the following players down. Seth Beer was sent to minor league camp. I think he is a little bit blocked at the major league level. He can really only play first base, at least efficiently, and I say that cautiously.
Yeah.
So Seth Beer down to the minor league camp, and then the following players went to AAA. Stuart Fairchild, an outfielder who we projected had a chance to make the major league roster out of spring training. I guess he still does. Corbin Martin, who's a starting pitcher that we expect is probably closest to being ready for the major leagues. And then J.B. Bukauskas, who has been stunning in his very short time at the major league spring training site. Which of these moves strikes you the most?
J.B. Bukauskas being sent down. He hadn't allowed a single base runner in any of his outings this spring. He looked dominant. I believe it was 9 strikeouts of the 12 batters he faced. Not a lot of batters, obviously, but that's what happens when you don't allow base runners, right? You don't face a lot of guys. But he had struck out 9 guys out of the 12 he's faced. He's changed his arm, his delivery a little bit shorter with his arm angle and everything, and it's worked. It's allowing him to throw strikes. And he's been just dominant, and then you see it's not even that he was one of the last guys sent down. We're about halfway through spring training, I'd say, maybe a little past halfway.
Yeah.
I believe 2 weeks from today is opening day, I think. But and it's just kind of weird that he's probably, I thought he was pretty much a lock to make the bullpen, because we've talked about how kind of fluid the bullpen situation is. I mean, they have a couple guys that are definitely making it. Joaquin Soria is going to make it. Tyler Clippard's going to make it. But other than those two guys, I can't really. Yoan Lopez will be in the bullpen.
Stefan Crichton.
Yeah. So at maybe those 3 or 4 guys, I felt like the bullpen was pretty wide open. So I thought a guy like Bukauskas really had a shot. Also in those moves too, I forgot to mention Geraldo Perdomo is also going down to AAA.
Okay.
But that's not surprising, because Nick Ahmed is your shortstop and
there's not a need for Perdomo.
Yeah. They don't need him yet.
We're going to talk about top prospects later. I will gush over Geraldo Perdomo.
But yeah, Bukauskas, and it's kind of disappointing to see, Corbin Martin get sent down. I mean, he's probably not ready yet, but I want to see him, you know? Yeah. I want to see what he's got. And it's funny to me that every piece of the Zach Greinke trade got, besides Josh Rojas, got sent down in this transaction, so it was kind of funny.
I get this vibe, too, that Corbin Martin, they're not willing to give up on him as a starting pitcher because he's so close. I mean, the guy's already pitched in the majors. He pitched for the Astros over 2 years ago. Or almost 2 years ago, because he was ready at that time, and then Tommy John.
Yeah.
So I get that they're not giving up on him as a starter. Whereas Bukauskas, the last time he was a starter was in AA. I guess I would have been 2019, because there was no minor league season last year. So I understand them sending him down, because he hasn't played at AAA. He hasn't faced that level of competition. But this is the question you and I have been asking for weeks now is, what was the value of the alternate site last year? And I don't even know if Bukauskas was at the alternate site, to be honest with you.
I can't remember, yeah.
But even if he was, what is the value of that versus AAA versus AA? You know, what is the level of competition and how do you measure those two things?
I don't know, because you're playing your own teammates for right. 3 months or whatever it
and
was.
And they may be at different levels as well.
Right.
In their careers.
And they had guys down there like Bryce Jarvis, who they just drafted. He was at the, just to get him some work and to see what he's got and everything.
But he's interesting too because he's a college guy.
Right.
So he's older.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have started higher in the system more likely. But yeah, Bukauskas is the most interesting of these moves because he impressed the most in spring. I know, spring doesn't matter all that much.
You're... I'm the guy that always looks at the stats in spring and goes, look at this guy. And
yeah.
you and Derek have to calm me down.
It's so, like four yeah. innings, right? Hasn't he only pitched like four innings?
I don't know. I think he's faced 12 batters.
Right.
So,
right. So
it's
I don't
not
wanna,
been a lot.
I don't want to pretend like...
It's not been a lot.
And this is when people are working on stuff.
And right. And you have to take into account, too, maybe when he's getting to those games. Are the starters for the opposing team still in the game? Blah, blah, blah.
Right. If he
stuff.
Comes in the sixth or seventh
but
inning.
But here's another thing. And Torrey Lovello and Mike Hazen were asked about this. The whole service time manipulation.
Sure.
That's a big topic with this. Torrey Lovello was asked about it, I believe, and I think Mike Hazen was asked about it, and they both deflected it and they denied what it was.
Of course.
And we don't know that's what this is, but it happens a lot still. It's really been brought to light in the last couple years with the whole Chris Bryant situation and how he lost that grievance because the Cubs, for sure and openly, manipulated his service time. They kept him in the minor leagues for the, what was it? Was
2 weeks.
First 2 weeks of the yeah. season.
14 days.
It's just so that they get an extra entire year of control over
right.
a star player like him. And then he filed a grievance and lost it. That's why he wasn't a free agent this past offseason. He
yeah.
will be a free agent next year, but he wanted to hit. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise for him because of the whole COVID thing. But
true.
But yeah, it's just. It's just weird that, and I hope that that's not what they're doing here. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but...
Well, there's a difference, though, because Bukauskas, he's not Chris Bryant.
He's not
Jared Kelnick, who went through this same discussion a couple of weeks
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's the other side. Like, why would you do this for a guy who you're just projecting as a reliever?
Right, and he's not a top prospect.
No,
he played in the Futures game a couple years ago, which usually indicates you're a pretty good player, but he's not one of those top prospects, so if they start him in the minors, nobody cares.
And he wasn't really the key piece of the Greinke trade either. I think Corbin Martin was the guy they were really after.
I'm not really sure, because...
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
You could make the case, even looking back, it's been, 2 years since that trade?
Yeah.
Almost two
yeah.
years? Looking back, you can make the case that any of those four players in the deal, Seth Beer, Josh Rojas, Corbin Martin and JB Bukauskas. You could make the case that any of those four were the piece that the Diamondbacks wanted. Bukauskas had played in the Futures game. He was clearly a rising star.
Yeah.
Corbin Martin had already played in the major leagues by that time, so you knew that he was going to be major league ready eventually. Seth Beer was one of their top-rated prospects. I believe he was number 3 in the Astros organization at the time, only behind Kyle Tucker
and
Forrest
Whitley, who's always hurt.
Whitley's kind of a bust because of his
yeah.
injuries, but Kyle Tucker is a great player.
Yeah.
And then Josh Rojas, for what it's worth, I know he was like the toss-in
yeah.
player. He's the only one who's played at the major league level over the last 2 years. And he hits.
I say that the Martin thing because I believe I read at the time that the Diamondbacks had tried to acquire Corbin Martin before and they couldn't get the deal
right,
done.
Yeah.
But that's all I mean by that.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt in my mind we're going to see JB Bukauskas this year.
Yeah.
He's got good stuff. He, like we said, dominated in spring. We'll see, I guess, what he does in AAA while he's playing there. And then again, the AAA season is delayed by a whole month.
Right.
So this might just be a formality, sending him down to work on some things in quote-unquote AAA before the games even start, and then they call him back up.
Yeah, and my understanding, I believe, is that the alternate site still exists. So
I'm so confused.
I don't know. How do you decide who goes to the alternate site, who goes to the minor league camps?
And who goes and plays AAA baseball or AA baseball?
When there is no AAA
right.
baseball right now for a month. So I don't know. I don't know how all that works out. But what we know is that as it currently stands, Bukauskas will not make the major league team. Mm-mm. Neither will Corbin Martin. I guarantee, I don't want to say guarantee. I really
hope. Be careful, Steve.
I really hope we're going to see both of them this year. Corbin Martin, I think, will be the first starter to get called up
at some point. It's close to a guarantee that you'll see these guys that you can say without actually guaranteeing it, because there's going to be a day where Caleb Smith has a little minor injury and can't make his next start.
Right.
You know, there's going to be an injury probably in the bullpen, or God forbid, a COVID issue. That's a whole nother thing, because that could shut a whole team down. But there's going to be some instance where they're going to need one or both of those guys at some point this year. So I don't doubt at all we're going to see at least J.B. Bukauskas and Corbin Martin. I don't think we're going to see Seth Beer this year. I don't think he's ready. I just don't. The at-bats that I've watched and have heard on the radio while working the games, he has a couple hits this spring, but a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look comfortable up there. Like we've said before, he's primarily, I guess, a first baseman. That position's locked down with Christian Walker.
Great at it.
And I was gonna say he's not that good defensively yet. So, and we know how much the Diamondbacks and Torrey Lovello and Mike Hazen value defense.
Well, and we're all rooting for him.
Sure.
We all want him to do well.
His last name is Beer.
who can't get behind that?
Seriously, I've worked these games running the board for the Diamondbacks games on the radio and watched them. It doesn't matter when he comes in. He usually is a pinch hitter. You hear, now batting, number 80, Seth Beer. Woo! Beer! Yeah. I drink that! Woo! It's like, it doesn't matter. Like,
these
people are nuts just because his last name's Beer. And of course, I want to root for him because I think he's going to be a good player. But the jersey sales for that guy.
You know how I know that's a real anecdote you just told? Because you've memorized his jersey number.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
number 80.
You know his jersey number. Well, that's also how you know he's not going to make the team. It's number 80. You don't make the team when you're number 80. Sorry, Seth, but I don't know if you knew that.
Change your numbers. Change your numbers, Seth.
Right. Try to get one of those lower digit numbers if you can. I hope that we are going to see J.B. Bukauskas at some point. I hope we see Martin. I think we could see Stuart Fairchild. I don't think that's outrageous to say.
No, they're pretty thin in the outfield.
That one's probably more out of need than anything.
Yeah.
But those moves are
a guy too that's still here had kind of a up and down spring training. That's still is Josh Van Meter. I wonder if he has a legit chance.
Josh Van Meter is still
Smith
around.
Still.
Paven Smith is still, who also is a first baseman, but has been
Wyatt
playing right
Matheson
field.
still in big league camp too. So
I wouldn't be shocked to see Wyatt be one of the next ones to go down. And that's not anything against him. I think it's just you can only have so many guys in the infield.
He can play, anywhere. So I mean,
because we know Asdrubal Cabrera is sticking around, and we're going to get into this in a second about second base, but. We know Cabrera is going to stick around. I feel really confident Josh Rojas is going to stick around.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can't have Van Meter, Smith, and Matheson all on the team at the same time. It just doesn't fit. And you need somebody to play outfield. And I know a couple of those guys can.
I wonder if we're going to see Dalton Varsho make the team as an outfielder.
I expect that he'll make the team and they won't label him.
He is a Major League Baseball player for our team this year.
Because they want him to be a catcher. We know this. But I know you and Derek both agreed at the beginning of the spring that Steven Vogt could be a player that they just kind of let walk into the distance.
Well,
and Varsho becomes the backup. But I really believe they're going to try to develop him at catcher while playing him in the outfield. I don't know how that works.
I've kind of changed my tune a little bit on Steven Vogt.
Okay.
Because both games that weren't sim games, actual spring training games, that Madison Bumgarner has started, Steven Vogt has caught him.
So you think maybe he's a personal catcher?
Maybe. I don't think Bumgarner had a personal one last year. I don't believe Steven Vogt was the opening day catcher. Carson Kelly was, I'm pretty sure.
Can I come to a too quick conclusion based on that?
I mean, he preferred Vogt because they were teammates in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. I'll make a conclusion based off of that. That's not good for Carson Kelly.
I don't think it is either.
Because I think if you're going to develop Carson Kelly into the catcher of the future, which he's been the primary catcher for the last, two seasons?
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want him to be that in the future, because we've all said this is a make or break year for him. I mean, I could see him not being the catcher next year if he has another year where he hits 230 or 40 and doesn't really bring anything significant defensively. How's he going to learn if he's not catching the veteran
right.
ace of your staff? I know Bumgarner wasn't as good as Gallen, and he probably isn't as good as Gallen right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can learn more from Bumgarner, I think, than you probably can from Gallen right now.
And the whole personal catcher thing, we didn't have a problem with it with Greinke, because at the time, the catchers for the Diamondbacks were Jeff Mathis, Chris Iannetta, and Chris Hermann.
Oh, God, Chris Hermann.
So you didn't really have your...
Center fielder Chris Hermann, I believe you're referring to.
I was at a game where he played center field.
I know.
And luckily, no balls were hit his way.
Somehow,
not a single ball was hit to the center field that
Good
day.
Good pitching that
yeah.
day. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he hit a walk-off home run. I don't remember.
And here we are, bad-mouthing.
Yeah. But at that time, back then, we didn't have a guy like Carson Kelly that we had. This is their
right.
quote-unquote catcher of the future, or a guy that
primary
could lock down their position. They had a three catcher system where they just played matchups all the time.
Sure.
And then when Greinke was pitching that day, Jeff Mathis was the catcher.
Well, and if I know Greinke, he wanted the smartest and best game caller,
pitch
and
framer,
defensive guy, yeah. and pitch framer, and that was Mathis by
yep.
far.
Yep,
he was going to hit you know 120 on the season, but yeah. he was still going to be a heck of a defensive catcher. So yeah, no, I agree with you on all of that. Let's move to comments made by Torey Lovello this week. We don't have the audio of this on hand, but we do know that Torey Lovello talked about Ketel Marte when asked whether or not Ketel Marte would be center fielder, second baseman, which is he? He had some interesting comments.
Yeah, he was on MLB Network Radio with Mike Farron, who was also part of the D-backs Radio Network broadcast team. And they asked him if Ketel Marte, who has been an infielder for most of his career, obviously, could see more starts in center field this year, and his answer was, quote, "I'm starting to lean that way. I love our versatility on the infield." So what I take from that is he's happy with guys, with other guys besides Marte who can play on the infield, which means they're kind of free to let Ketel be the primary center fielder. Like, they're not worried about second base.
Yeah.
Because I think, honestly, Josh Rojas will probably be playing second base.
All of that makes sense to me. So they do have better options at second base than they do in center field, mostly because they chose not to address center field in the offseason.
Right.
If they had done what they did a year ago, which was trade for Starling Marte, who's a top 10 center fielder in baseball, then you would be having a different discussion. Mm-hmm. You'd be talking about Ketel Marte. What he would have said if they had a center fielder,
Ketel Marte is our second baseman.
They would have said he's our second baseman, but also he's the best second baseman in baseball. We think he's one of the most versatile players in the league. I mean, they truly believe all these things, but they'd be saying it more often. What I hear from that is, yeah, well, we don't have anyone else in center, so we're going to have to play Ketel there more often than not. I don't believe he's going to be starting every day in center field. But
I don't think so either.
I could see.
But who?
I could see two thirds of his starts in center.
And when he doesn't, is it Tim LaCastro? Is it Dalton Varsho?
Short answer is yes, I guess.
Do you move?
Some combination.
Do you move David Peralta from
maybe?
Left? Is it Trace Thompson? Trace Thompson can play center field. But then you have who's plays right field, because Calhoun's not going to be ready until it looks like maybe the beginning of May, hopefully.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me about Trace Thompson, because I think you know how I feel about Trace
Thompson. I know
you
don't like him. You think he's bad at baseball.
Well, if you look at the numbers...
You're giving him the Archie Bradley treatment.
If you look at the numbers over the years, Trace Thompson's on-base percentages are atrocious. He can't hit major league pitching. He's proven that in the four or five times he's been called up. Minor leagues, not particularly special. He's just not a hitter, and I like hitters. And I know that there's more to it than, you know, when you play center field. And I hope he gets a chance. I hope he does well.
I think he's going to get a chance.
He just doesn't do it for me.
The lack of depth and the injury to Calhoun really opened that up.
See, but that's why I hate it, though.
Oh, I know.
I would rather a guy stun you with his performance, and that's why he gets the job, rather than we have nothing else.
It's not the ideal way to make a baseball team.
Right.
Because, well, I'm the only guy they have, so here I am.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that's kind of where they are right now. I mean, Calhoun getting hurt open that up. They didn't, like we just said, didn't go out and acquire a free agent, either in free agency or a trade. There were guys out there that we thought maybe would be a fit. Kevin Pillar was an option. Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't know who else you'd trade for. I mean, I don't think they want to trade for a guy.
The
but
thing is, too, and Torrey
they just traded one away. So I don't
Torrey
know
didn't
they
say
for
this in
one.
This soundbite, but or in this quote, but I kind of read into it a little bit too. I don't think there's a lot of true center fielders out there in baseball. I think a lot of guys end up playing center field, but they're really not. I mean, even Starling Marte. I know I said he's a top 10 center fielder, but he really wasn't.
He won his gold gloves and left, I believe. Yeah,
I think he did. And he's good. He's above average in center field, but I don't think that there's a lot of really great center fielders in baseball right now.
You could probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, Jackie Bradley Jr. defensively, Kevin Kiermaier.
George Springer.
George Springer is a good center fielder.
He's a good, Cody Bellinger is now an amazing center fielder.
Yeah, what the heck?
/ first baseman.
Bull
that
crap.
Makes no sense to
and
me.
Right fielder.
Joey Gallo plays center field sometimes. I don't know how that works out, but I wouldn't say he's a great one. But yeah, I mean, there's just not a lot of great center fielders. So I don't know. That made sense, what Torrey Lavelle said.
Yeah, it has to, because what else are they going to do?
Especially with how well Josh Rojas has been playing. Mm. I feel really confident that he will get a shot at second base.
I said it last week, and I think that Josh Rojas will probably be your primary second baseman.
I hope so.
With Cattell being the primary center fielder.
I hope that's
I think
the
that's
case.
What's going to happen. Dude, everything Josh Rojas is hitting is hard hit. It's crazy. He is so locked in. I know it's spring training. Whatever. But everything he's hitting is hard contact, loud contact. And that's what, I mean, in spring, if you're not going to look at stats, you should be looking at stuff like that.
Yeah, exit
velocities. Is he hitting the ball hard?
Yeah.
Is he putting it, I texted Derek, I think I was in our group chat the other day. They were shifting on Josh Rojas, and he poked one to the left side past third.
Derek will love
and I'm
that.
Like, he beat the shift, Derek. It's great.
There's other options there, too.
Make the team just because
Eduardo Escobar can play second base. Asdrubal Cabrera, in a pinch, could play second base. There's a lot of guys who can play second base. There's not a lot of guys who can play center field. So I get this. Also out this week, the MLB Pipeline Diamondbacks Top 30 Prospects List. You know that
I know, you're nuts.
I eat, sleep,
you've probably been refreshing the Pipeline website, waiting for them to post these things.
Since the season ended, I've been waiting for this to happen. What's interesting about this Diamondbacks, we don't want to go through all 30 of these guys. I could probably do that in my own separate podcast, and nobody would want to join me
for
that.
You'll be by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be just fine with that. The Diamondbacks are interesting because they really have like a top four. Good prospects, really good prospects. They got four in the top 100 in Major League Baseball. Number one could really be Christian Robinson, who a lot of people have been talking about for a few years, or it could be Corbin Carroll. They're both currently center fielders. We've talked a lot about them. Alec Thomas, also a center fielder, is their number four. He's a contact hitter, good player. Interesting to me is number three, you mentioned earlier, Geraldo Perdomo, who is a switch-hitting shortstop who's 21, a plus defender at the position, which is a necessity in the Hazen regime. His on-base percentages are great, and you know I love that. He hits the ball hard. He's got good speed. There's not a lot of downside to Geraldo Perdomo, and you'll notice on this list, he's the top prospect on the list that says estimated time of arrival, 2021. But the problem is, you mentioned earlier, there's not really a place for him to play. Unless they play him at second base, but I think that stunts the growth a little
bit. I feel like when you have a top prospect that's a shortstop, that is already, you know, is a good shortstop, a good fielding shortstop, I don't think it's wise. I mean, and if I was this smart, I would not be here recording this with you, but
I don't know what that says about me.
Well, it's, yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, just take that however you want.
I will.
So I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I feel like it's not wise if you have a guy that you know is going to be a really good shortstop to switch his position just because you have a guy like Nick Ahmed,
right?
Who is also a really good shortstop.
Very good.
But he's locked up for the next 3 years. I don't think they should go about just, okay, well, we need Geraldo Perdomo to get in the majors, so let's make him play second base or third base.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, it's happened before. I mean, Manny Machado was a really good shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles. Really, 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 really good. And then they moved him to third base, and he's still really freaking good. So I don't know. Maybe Perdomo is a third baseman. Maybe Ahmed's a third baseman. I don't know when they want to bring him up. I'm not sure.
You could play Ahmed pretty much anywhere in the infield.
He'll make plays.
You wouldn't play him at first base, but yeah, you could play him anywhere in the infield and feel confident about his defense, but it's the bat that really is the thing that struggles there.
I'm excited about the outfielders that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Corbin Carroll, Christian Robinson, and Alec Thomas. Their ETAs on this site, all 2022. Is that your starting outfield right there?
You're just going to scrap Peralta and Calhoun next year?
Well, I mean, David Peralta Cole Calhoun, I believe, is a free agent after this year.
Peralta might be too. I'm not
sure. Peralta might be. I could look that up real fast.
To answer your question, no, I don't expect all three of them to come up at the same time. I think that would be way too coincidental. But
maybe not all at the same time, but is that your starting outfield at some point down the line?
I believe it's interesting that you say that.
Move one to right, move one to left?
I believe something similar is happening right now in Seattle, where they had Kyle Lewis come up, and Kyle Lewis started last year. And was he rookie of the year in the American
League? I think so. He was really good.
And so he's your center fielder. They've got Jared Kelnick, who's going to come up. He's going to be in their outfield. Then they got Julio Rodriguez, who needs a little bit more development, but he's going to be up in the major leagues at some point. So they already know, like, Seattle's got that same picture in their office, you know, just waiting for them to come up. I think the Diamondbacks could be similar.
So I forgot. David Peralta signed a 3-year extension in 2020. So
I didn't know that.
He's okay. Under contract through 2022.
Gotcha.
So after next year, he's only making $7.5 million.
That doesn't preclude them from trading Peralta, trading Nick Ahmed. Any of these guys
anybody can get traded. I mean,
right?
They traded Zach Greinke, and he was making $200 million.
Or you keep them around, and you have them teach these young guys when you bring them up. Because when you bring these guys up, they don't necessarily have to start right away, but they do need to get at bats. That's the key to developing players. Especially ones as good as Corbin Carroll or Alec Thomas or Christian Robinson. Now, the thing that's interesting about what you suggested about them all playing in the same outfield, I believe that their skill sets actually fit each other pretty well because Corbin Carroll is a true center fielder. He's got really good speed, great fielder, strong arm, good contact hitter, maybe 10 to 15 home runs I could see out of Corbin Carroll. So he's a center fielder. Alec Thomas is similar, but he doesn't have as much pop. He's definitely a contact guy. I could see him playing in left, and then Christian Robinson is a bigger dude, kind of lanky right now, but we know that these guys fill out when they get older. He's only 21 or whatever.
He's 6'3 and 190 pounds.
Right.
According to this website.
These guys fill out eventually, the way they feed them and they train up and everything like that, and he's got a killer arm, so that's your right fielder. I could see them fitting perfectly together. What's interesting on this list to me, because we knew those guys were going to be high, the Diamondbacks, some of their top prospects that you would have thought about over the last few years, Seth Beer we mentioned, J.B. Bukauskas, they dropped significantly on these lists. I don't know if that's because there hasn't been a lot of progress in the last 2 years based on the fact that there was no minor league season last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Corbin Martin dropped a little bit, I believe, on this list, probably because he's missed so much time due to injuries.
Corbin Martin is currently the 7th ranked prospect of the top 30. So,
but what I see in this list is a lot of names that people probably won't recognize. Like, if you've been really paying attention, you probably do. But
Wildred Patino.
Right.
Who is that?
Blake Walston is number 5 on this list. He's a lefty. I believe he's still either 19 or 20. He's a couple years away.
He's 19 years old.
He's 19. He's number 5. He was nowhere near 5 last year.
Slade Ciccone, another guy who is a college player, so he might be closer than we think.
There's a slew of right-handed pitchers between numbers 5 and 10, and the Diamondbacks just haven't had a lot of great pitching prospects in the last few years, and when they did, they shipped them out. Anthony Bonda. Mm-hmm. Remember, Anthony Bonda was their top prospect. John Duplantier, who is still around, hasn't found a role yet. So
he's still on this list, but he's much lower. He's 23.
Much, much lower. And at one point, he was probably number 1, or at least the number 1 pitcher.
He was in their top 5 at one point, I think. So Tommy Henry's another interesting
I love Tom
guy.
Lehrig.
He's the guy that pitched
College World Series with Michigan.
Michigan, yeah, and he was striking.
I hate Michigan,
out.
But I do like Tommy Henry. He's a good lefty too.
He's only 23 years old.
He could be closer to the majors than you might think too.
His ETA, according to the MLB pipeline, is 2022.
That makes sense to me.
So,
and again, these are estimates.
Sure,
but
anything can happen.
But yeah, looking at this list,
Levi Kelly.
I was impressed with this list, though.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I do still believe that the core four for the Diamondbacks are those three outfielders we mentioned, and then Perdomo. I think you can't forget about Dalton Varsho. I know he had a significant enough role in the second half of this past season that he probably doesn't count as a prospect.
I was going to say, he is not on this list.
Yeah, so I think Varsho plays into that as well, but he no longer qualifies as a prospect.
Right.
But I still see him as that because he hasn't proven that he earned a role on this team yet. I do believe he's going to make the team out of spring training. I don't know if that's outrageous to say at this point.
I don't think so. And like, it's kind of going back to what we said. They don't have a lot of depth at some of these plays, especially in the outfield. And I could totally see Dalton Varsho making the team, and they could play him at some catcher if they want. But
totally.
I see him playing in the outfield a lot as well. I don't know how much. It just depends. But I don't doubt that we're going to see him in center field and some left field. It's just going to happen this year, I think.
It appears to be that way. We're going to keep an eye on that as well as the games that are remaining. Just a couple weeks left in spring training, and all eyes will be on the roster moves that are made between now and the beginning of the season. We thank you so much for checking out the podcast. We believe it's the best Diamondbacks podcast out there. Just our opinions. It's
believe
the Ain't No Fang podcast. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Cody Fincher as well. And we'll catch you on the other side. Thanks so much for listening on the Arizona Sports app and at ArizonaSports.com.